Hello. Well, first of all, let me say this. I thought about this yesterday. Somebody might say, hey, you should listen to the Todd Glass Show. And for whatever reason, they picked this episode. I should tell, if you are a new listener, usually when we drop an episode on Monday, as this one has been, you'll see in the past, it's usually, you know, a more serious episode. So, as today's is. So you might want to go listen to a regular episode that we drop on Fridays. And here we go. I'm going to say something that I said before. You know, from now on, the reason this show took so long to get to was because the things I wanted to talk about just kept growing and growing. Next thing you know, you have 2 hours worth of stuff to talk about. From now on, I'm not going to handle it that way. If I'm doing a show and it's a two-hour show and for 15 minutes we want to talk about something a little more serious, that's what we'll do. So this won't happen again. We might drop shows like this in the future, but mostly I'm just going to integrate it into the show. Some people are like, ugh. But other people are like, good, that's what we've been telling you to do. It's fine. Trust your instincts, Todd. I get your emails. I hear you. See? So, there you go. So this is the show, you know? Look, at the end of the day, when you finish, when, you know, me and Paul talked about this when the show is over, even though sometimes I get tongue-tied or I'm thinking, oh, did I make that point as clear as I could? Could I made a better example? Was my analogy ironclad as I'd like it to be? I know one thing for sure. We both did this because, you know, you just want to think you helped somebody breathe easier. That's what it comes down to. And that's obviously never a bad thing. And the only reason I'm telling myself that is because, you know, yo, like I said, when it's over, you're like, did I do this right? Did I do that right? So, I think we covered a lot of good things. That's all. So there you go. Here's the show, and here we go. All right. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Ay, ay, ay.
Todd, I'm sorry I asked you to do this.
First of all, hello, and we put this episode off so much because in the regular episode, I was afraid to, I don't know, sometimes I thought, oh, we'll talk about it on the Paul F. Tompkins episode, which we affectionately call it now. And then I realized that I just started mounting things. And today got me a little stressed because, but I feel good now. Irk was great at helping me with the notes. Chris Burden was great at at printing them out really big. But I'm going to take a second here and say something that I don't want to forget to say. But this is all good, you know. I don't want to make it like it's too serious, but, you know, it's a lot of stuff that's weighing on me. And the emails, you know, I go on with my own life and I forget until I read these emails. Like, and again, Paul, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't know why, but there's a part of me, maybe it's because I'm a comic and, you know, I'm cynical. A lot of comedians are cynical. Mm-hmm. And when we smell someone's being over, like, all right, it's important, but relax. I don't feel it's that way. I feel like this is ungodly important, but I don't want to come off. Why do I? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not sure what you mean. When somebody's being sort of they're pretending or they're inflating,
you know,
something.
Yes, and I don't think it is, but like I feel the need to say, like, you know.
Yeah, they're acting the gravity of the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh Jesus, that's why I have you here. So I read these letters. And that's when sort of I came up with what today was. Today, I mean, I hope it helps a lot of people. But two particular emails, I made up names because, I emailed them back. They said they just prefer their names don't be used. So mm-hmm. Tracy and it's funny, I'm looking down for the fake names I made up. Tracy and Brad. And they're having trouble with their parents. They've come out to their parents and they're having a difficult time.
So these are two separate people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two separate people. And I said, I emailed them and I said, could you get your parents to listen to this podcast? Mm-hmm. And they both said they think they could. So we're going to talk about other stuff today, you know, but we're going to start with this because I feel if I have these parents listening now that I might, you know, I want to keep them. So we'll talk about, you know, the kids that are gay or transgender or whatever they're having difficulty with, but they're the two, you know, two main ones. And I, in my head, I thought, say welcome them. I even thought, you know, in the podcast, a lot of times these people might not be used to the way we talk. There's going to be – you know, I express myself when I'm angry. I'm like, oh, it's fucking bullshit.
Whoa, and, hey.
Oh. Watch
parents
it.
Parents are listening.
But I even thought, should I lessen that? Because I – look, I don't want to – you're not going to get some – you're not going to help these parents get over this. I guess that's where the expression tough love comes in. I want to be gentle with you. I want to be loving towards you, but I'm also going to have to be a little gruff at times to rattle you out of something. But right off the bat, I want you to listen to this. I hope by the end of this, if I could have someone listen to this and go, yeah, it took that. That podcast did it. Obviously, what would make me more happy than that? You know? So we're welcoming some people that aren't regular listeners to the Todd Glass Show. So I wanted to do that. And there we go. That's out of the way.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Probably don't have to crumple up the paper every time. I'm looking at the amount of paper that's on the table.
I could just toss it. And then I wanted to say this to a lot of kids that are out there.
Yeah, rip it up into 10 equal pieces. Make sure the pieces are equal sized.
It does seem to delegitimize the importance of my notes.
So I thought this was very important. I wish there would be a sound of a trash can lid coming down.
All right, so.
Or if you just had a shredder. So there you go. Another important idea dispensed with.
All right, so parents, you're listening. Stay with us here. You're going to want to hit me over the head by the end of the show because I'm going to keep saying that. Now, I want to say this, that I thought this the other day that, like, for a lot of kids, it does get better. There's no doubt about that. It gets better. But look, I remember what it was like hearing stuff like that, and I'm glad I heard it because I think it got soaked into my fiber somewhere. But I thought, how do you help kids that are going through it today? Because it gets better. That means today sucks. Mm-hmm. Today's hard.
Yeah.
And one of the things is, especially when your parents aren't accepting you, that times it times 10.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're evil people. That doesn't mean they're not loving. It just means they're confused, and I want to help them with that. But I think when people, you know, it depends. I don't know. I think this will help some people. It helped me sometimes when I get – even when I hear about someone that works for someone in this business and they get yelled at and their boss is just on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being just a mean-spirited, just a horrible human being. How do you get through that? And in this case, we're talking about kids that come out and their parents aren't accepting them or some of their friends aren't accepting them. How do you make today better? When I hear about kids not accepting it, which is less and less all the time because kids are very accepting today, but – for some reason, it upsets me more when it's parents or somebody that's not accepting.
Yeah. Well, because you expect, as a child, unconditional love from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they are going to love you no matter what. And it's not like if somebody's coming out, their parents don't love them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like that.
Right.
It feels like they're saying, I kind of am rejecting you as a person.
Even though a parent listening right now, we want you to know, we get it. You love your child.
Yes. No one is saying that you don't.
No. But to the child, it doesn't feel like you do.
Yeah.
And just know one thing for sure, that when people are out there and they accept everybody and love everybody of all types, you do reap the benefits by that. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a person that doesn't do all that and still have a big car and still have a big house and all that stuff. But when you are nurturing to every human being on this planet, you live a fuller life. You're happier.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they don't get.
Yeah.
That's what they don't get. And so, you know, I just know that when you hear all those, you know, it gets better. I get it. Today's tough. And you hold on. Just let me take a second here. I think, you know, I'm going to say this because, like I said, because of the parents that might be listening today or the friend of a friend's, that I'm going to say something that even when I told Daniel Kino, he was a little shocked. But I think it's a great way to start, to let them know that I'm with them. I thought if my dad was, let's say, transgender.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, at one point during what I'm saying, there might be people that are like, what? But I promise you, you'll like the way it ends. If my dad was coming to a show And maybe he was bringing his boyfriend. Or maybe my dad was a cross-dresser and he wanted to – to me, that would even be harder. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to show up my show like that. I'd be – it'd be hard for me. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest. I might make an excuse to put it off. I might go, you know what, Dad? It's pretty crowded this week. Come next week because you know what? Then I'll have more time to spend with you. Yeah. You know, I try to be nice. So I'm telling you that. I'm being very honest with you. Mm-hmm. But here's the difference. I would get help.
Right.
I would get help. I'd be sitting in a therapist's office saying, I don't want to do this. And that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to not have a difficult time with it. We'll be patient with you today. Your children will be patient with you today. But you need – and when I say get help, it's not with the tone, you need to get help. No, that's an aggressive, angry tone. I mean, you need to get help.
Yeah.
You need to go to a therapist and, you know, and trust what that therapist will say about your child. And I just, you know, I'm telling – I told that story because I want people to know that I – you know, you – look, let's face it, whether you admit it or not, it's either that you're embarrassed your kid is and you have to go to church or you have to go to, you know, a swim club or you have to go somewhere and, you know, that's not the norm. And then there's the other side that you might think that it's an illness.
Yeah.
And you say, I love my kid. But like if your kid had an illness, you'd love him, but you want him to get help. And I hope I hit on something. I hope you just went, that's what it is with me. Of course you love your child, but and you love him so much that you desperately want to get your child help.
Yeah.
It's that. It's one or the other, you know. And I will tell you this, and here's where it might get a little hard. And obviously, you know, I go long-winded up front, Paul, that the difference between tough love – and by the way, these are all my opinions. That's all they are. The difference between tough love – and you not accepting your child. And I think most people know tough love is if, you know, your kid is, let's say he's addicted to heroin and you go to a program and they tell you that the best way to get your child to you know, to come out of this is to cut him off. Mm-hmm. That's very hard when you found out your kid slept in the street that night.
Yeah.
But you have an organization that backs you, that goes, this is the best way to make him hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And in the event of, well, you're cutting your child off, he dies. You have an organization that still backs you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have an organization that will go, you did the right thing. It's still going to be gut-wrenching and sad and just, words that can't even describe it. But you will have an organization that says, it didn't work, but that doesn't mean you didn't do the right thing. And you'll have other parents and everybody. Look, here's the part. It might seem a little cold. If you cut your child off because he is gay or she is a lesbian, when I say gay, I'm covering everything, mm-hmm. hopefully every time. You're not going to have an organization that will tell you you did the right thing. They will tell you to forgive yourself,
mm-hmm.
and part of forgiving yourself will be to have the clarity that you should have had before your child killed themselves. Like these mothers and fathers that are against their children being gay and cutting them off. And then after their child dies, they go around on circuits saying, don't do what we did.
Right.
But I'm going to just tell you the God honest, just the gut-wrenching truth here. You are not going to have an organization that goes, you did the right thing. And you need to know that. You're not going to have the support that people have that their children have drug problems and cut them off.
I would say, though, that there are certain churches, I think, that would say you did the right thing. You know, that's the problem, is that there's certain organizations.
You're leading me right in, as you always do, to my next thing.
There's
so
certain organizations that have such an issue with this that not all churches, but there are some
mm-hmm.
Churches that would say – but that
same comparison, you know, to the drug act.
Taking your own life is a sin, but what could you do? You had to reject your child because they were doing something against God, you know.
Right.
So it's not that they won't find a group that will ever say, you know, hey, you did what you mm-hmm. had to do. They probably could do that. But at that point, what are we even are we talking to someone who can be reasoned with? You know what
I
mean?
Well, I think that's – I hope you're right because that was my next set of notes here, and I want to be very clear with this because every time he's talking about religion, I want to go to bat.
I would imagine the people that are writing to you are not saying that my parents are so extreme in their religion that they have completely cut me off.
Well,
they have rejected
I bet
me.
That there's – all over the gambit.
Oh, of course.
So I think it's worth taking time, right, slowing down
right
here.
But if these are the parents that are listening, I just want to make sure that we're not kind of tarring everyone with the same brush. You know,
exactly.
I mean?
We have to address so many people today because there's all types of people listening. By the way, if there's someone that goes, no, it has nothing to do with religion, that even gets more difficult for me.
Yeah, I don't understand that
right
at all.
And here's why I think I owe it to take some real clarity here to defend people. For two reasons. One, there are religious groups of every type that are accepting of everybody. And I hope if you're listening, because we have some people that aren't going through this listening, that have, I get it. There's you can go to a synagogue that is very gay friendly. You can go to it. There's churches. There's every group of organized religion has, what do you call it?
Sects, branches, you know.
Very accepting. So there is a place to go.
Yes,
and
certainly.
So, and they're there and they're very accepting. So, and also, if you're going to, you know, put your child under the magnifying glass of what the church thinks, it's a little greedy that you reap the benefits of the church, the mistakes the church has made in the past. So if you're a woman listening, or if you're, you know, and you're going, hey, if you, the church thought it was wrong that you should be equal at one point. Mm-hmm. So, again, making this very, 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 very clear, there are religious organizations that are very, I don't even want to say pro-gay, pro-everything.
Progressive.
Progressive, yes. Loving, caring. So you could go to that organization. But what I'm saying is, let's say they're going, well, I don't want to go to that organization, mm-hmm. that sort of division of that group.
Yeah.
I don't want to go because I don't agree with that. I think that's a division that is practicing the wrong thing. I want to stay with the church I'm at that thinks you love your child, you wrap your arms around him, you hug him, you always love your child, but get him help. Mm-hmm. That the church, the organized religion, they have a long history of being on the wrong side of things. And if you're reaping the benefits, it's almost like I want to say, you know, if you want to go back to before you got your rights. Mm-hmm. Because that's it's hard not to say in that very sarcastic voice, oh, when do you want to go back to? The day after I got my rights. Oh, that works out good for you. And when do you want to stop? The day before we give rights and clarity to another group of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying that you need to know that you know, God forbid your child does that, you're going to have clarity. You know, I'm trying to edit my language because of this, and I don't think I can. I think if you have a child that's going through this, you need to accept that I need to speak the way I speak. You're going to have a clarity like a motherfucker. That's what I wanted to say, because right. Once your child's dead, you know, and you think, is this dramatic? No, you're not going to look in the casket of your child and go, this is tough, mm-hmm. but I know in my soul of souls that I did the right thing.
Yeah.
You're going to know instantly, and parents are out there that will talk to you that did that, and go talk to them. If you're having a hard time, I'll be patient, but I can't be patient if you're doing nothing mm-hmm. except saying, I stand my ground.
Yeah.
You got to move forward and try to go talk to parents. If you're having a child and you're not accepting them for this, you should at least go, yes, I will within a week sit down with a parent that went through this. You owe it to your child to do that.
Yeah.
So
I think that in a situation like that, which is the extreme situation of you know, a child that's driven by the, you know, a rejection from its own parents to take their own life. That you, if you're the parent of that child, you will see in an instant how small a thing this was the whole time. And what were you worried about? And what did it matter? You know? Well, and if you can think that way now, if you can project yourself into that place
mm-hmm.
of like, if I were to reject my child in this way, not even I'm going to cut them off, but I'm going to treat them as if what they're doing is some sort of willful, you know, faddish, you know, choice that they're making that upsets me and upsets the people that I know. And it makes us look bad in front of people. You know, what will people say? It's like the analogy of if your dad was a crossdresser and he was going to come to the show, that you what you're worried about in that situation is how are other people going to react? At that point, you have to say, how do we react and what do we think as a family? Let's remove strangers from it, because who cares what they think?
And what if they say, with nobody else in the picture? Here's why it's very hard not to keep going back to the religion, because we're dealing with 20 types of people dealing with this right now. Mm. Some are going, no, nothing to do with religion. And again, more confusing to me. Religion, I sort of get.
Yeah.
The other one, look, you're listening, and I'm going to say this right now. The gift of conversation, if you're listening and you're getting frustrated because we're saying things and you're like, oh, if I could just tilt them over to the right a little. No, here's my problem with it. That's just going to happen throughout the show today. But I'm telling you, if you listen to the whole thing, by the end of it, we will rattle you into some logical thought process.
Yeah.
I hope. But,
it's a tough battle, though, because it's easier, I think. Or it'd be easier to talk to the kids and tell them, here's what you need to be ready for and here's how you deal with it. You know, if you're putting it all on the parents and you're this stranger on a podcast, it's very easy for them to say, well, I don't have to listen to anything this guy says. Even if they're talked into listening to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say to the kids that are going through this. It's almost the same thing. Your parents are your parents, and you love them no matter what. You understand that they can't wrap their mind around this thing. They don't get it. They can't hear what you're saying about it, and they're not going to take your word for it that this is fine and that it's normal and that this is a modern age in which we live. Now it's up to you to know that and deal with it. You know, at a certain point, you have to say, I can't convince them to treat me the way I would like to be treated because they're my parents. And it doesn't, that's not the way it goes, you know, that the parents take their cues from the kids. It's the other way around traditionally. You know, it's very rare that you as a child are able to convince your parent, turn their mind around on something. Let me make this analogy. I started doing stand-up when I was 17 years old, right? And have been doing it, you know, now I think more than I haven't been doing it. You know what I mean? More than half my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Just a pen. I don't need any paper, but thank you very much. Sorry. Chris just got me some paper, everybody.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. My parents never quite grasped the idea that I was making a living at show business, right? They never quite got it. And my mother died when she was 78 years old, and I rode with her from the hospital to the hospice in the back of the ambulance, and I was holding her hand. And this is – she's dying, right? And she said to me, have you figured out what you want to do with the rest of your life? Never got it. Never, ever got it that I was not living some pipe dream and that I was wasting my life and I was doing something wrong, right? Never got it. What am I going to do? I gave up explaining it to her a long time ago. I gave up getting defensive about it. Mm-hmm. It was just like, she'll never get it. You know, she'll never get it. And I had to accept at a certain point that she won't get this, you know, but let it go because I know that I'm doing good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
that my life is good and that I'm being my true self. I would have loved her to understand, and mm-hmm. I tried to like explain it to her, but it just didn't take, man.
Well, I think I'm really glad you brought that up because it's obviously we are trying to do two things today. One is rattle parents out of their behavior, and the reason I pointed up that brought up that thing about my dad being a crossdresser or you know whatever his situation was is because it lets me know I don't think I'm a horrible evil person. I think I'm pretty evolved. I'll be honest and I'm saying that, so I would imagine there's people listening that there might be hope for.
Right.
And so,
you know what else it is, Todd? Not to, hold your thought,
okay.
Though. It's also because, let's say in the scenario, your dad's a crossdresser, and...
And by the way, let me say this, because I will never be able to sleep at night.
Sure.
Do you understand, if you're listening, whatever you do, that the reason I brought that up, if my dad was gay, or if he was a crossdresser, whatever it is, I get from my soul... that those are the strong ones that go out that are cross-dressers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the strong ones. Those are the ones that are brave. Those are the people that should get – you get it. You're doing what is the hardest thing in the world, and that is be yourself in public.
Yeah.
The reason I'm pointing out that it might be hard for me to deal with my dad is because I know in society that they might look or people might look. But I want to over-preface it. I'd be in a therapist's office getting help. I would ask my dad to be patient with me, not – say the other way around and make my dad feel like he's got a problem or my brother or whatever. I think I've made my point, but yeah. I want to make that really clear that I'm, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's what I'm imagining in this scenario that you're laying out is that you did not grow up with a dad who was a cross-dresser, and it's something that you became used to over time. This is you at the age you are now, and your dad says, you know, last year, hey, Todd, I got to tell you something. Mm-hmm. This is who I am, and this makes me comfortable, and you know. It's I'm expressing my full self here, and it's a thing that I do. And so sometimes I would like to come to your show, and I might, you know, dress this way. You're not used to it. It's a new thing, right? Let's make it better. If your dad came out, right? If you were straight, your dad came out. You're a grown man, right? And your dad says, "I'm going to take my boyfriend to your show." You're now thinking like, well, this is all – I just found out that he was gay, you know, a week ago, and now he's bringing a date to the show, and like people, you know, friends of mine that thought he was, you know, this married guy and blah, blah, blah. It's new. It's new, and that's why you're kind of freaked out by it because it's an experience you haven't had before. But it doesn't mean it's for the rest of your life.
No. And it doesn't mean that if I put myself there to go – right. You just said it perfectly. Yeah. So let me
move just found
on.
You know, this is like – yeah. The world changes. Things like this are a possibility now, you know.
I got a little lost in my thought here. You know,
I told you to hold that thought.
I did. It's okay. It's okay. I was watching a movie the other night, and it's one of those movies, you know, they're just gut-wrenching, sad movie. Daughter's dying of cancer, and the family's going through it. And I was sitting there watching, going, these parents want one thing. The ability to have the power to make their child feel better mm-hmm. and get better. That's really at the end of the whole movie. That was the plot, that your child is dying and you're going, if I had the power, can you imagine the power? Your child has cancer and you have the power to get rid of that cancer, to make your child better. Mm-hmm. And then here sits these parents that have that power. You have that power to go – to not do it right away. Right. I'm not asking you to go in the house right now and do it. You might need to take some time. But you have the power to go educate yourself, to utilize social advancements, which would mean you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody except in some – underline 150 times religious groups to find – you'd be hard-pressed to find, you know, the – what would you call it? The sociological – you know, the – Where therapists have guidelines. In other words, if you have a degree in certain – I'm saying this so horribly, but the people will understand what I mean. There's not organizations out there. If you're a therapist and you tell – if you tell – you can't go – you have to follow guidelines.
Right.
And there's advancement. And they know that this is normal for kids to be gay. And you can go there and they will explain this to you.
Yeah.
The only way you're right for what you're doing – and this is going to sound so sarcastic – and I think you even know in your gut of guts, someone listening, that this isn't going to happen. The only way I'm wrong, if in 25 years they go, remember when they were this close to thinking being gay was okay? And then they then you'd be like, you're going to get the one that gets to say, I knew it.
Right.
I knew it. Everyone was telling me it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. And they found out. And now most 98% of therapists are telling you, no, kids that are gay need help. That's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So, you know, just that's what I'm saying. That's the only way you're going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a power. You have a superhero inside of you. And that superhero can make your child feel awesome. Well, utilize it. Utilize it. Because someone that watches their kid die of cancer will look at you with a little bit of disgust to go, I wish I had that power. I wish I had it. I would have made my child better, and you have it. So
here's the problem, though, is that much like the child with cancer, the parents think that there is something wrong with their child.
Well, no, but let me interject real quick.
Yeah.
Unless they go, yeah, of course that's what they think on the surface. But if they would go to, you know, go to a therapist that would say no and educate themselves. Because, you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say this again. We are repeating things today because I want it all isolated. So if you're a regular listener and you're going, they said that before, I want to take a little bit from every show, plus there's going to be some new stuff, and cram it into an hour and a half. Obviously. Why are you laughing?
Because I just – something just – occurred to me that the slippery slope where, you know, homosexuality becoming accepted as normal and gay marriage being legal and just a mundane, regular old thing, the argument that that is going to lead to the downfall of civilization, I think, can be disproven by the idea that gay people have been around since the dawn of time. And all the times in the world's history that we have almost faced extinction, or there's been any kind of genocide or atrocities or whatever, it's never been about gay people. It's never been the case. If you want to talk about Genghis Khan or Hitler or Stalin or whoever, it's never been like gay people getting together and holding hands has been the impetus for this stuff to happen. So I think the idea that you have to be worried about gay people being accepted as normal, I think you can let that go as a threat. It's okay. Gay people are here already. And so the idea of not making them feel bad is the new thing. The idea of not making them feel shame, that's what's new. So let's explore that idea and see if it might not be a bad thing after all.
Yeah, because, you know, I've said this, like what I said, what I was going to repeat in the same sort of area that you're talking about. We accept all the advancements of a forward-thinking society when it comes to making our life easier. And that's a little selfish when some – because to me there's technological advancements, and that we love. We take them like, boom, give it to us, give it to us, give it to me. Well, we love that, phones, all that. And there's sociological advancements, and they're both fucking real. Mm-hmm. They're real. People that invent cell phones and invent computers, it's not hocus pocus. Either is psychology.
Yeah.
They have studied. That's why they know the difference between a murderer and a rapist and someone that's gay.
Yeah.
So to accept all the advancements of a forward-thinking society when it makes your life easier and only turn this type of thing away when it makes your life harder. Now, why does it make your life harder? Because you have to rethink something you were thinking. If you're right, I'll say it.
Yeah.
You're fine. If you're right, you're fine. In time, you'll get to say it. But if you're wrong, you're causing a lot of gut-wrenching pain to a lot of people.
Because of pride. Because it's no one wants to find out
mm-hmm.
that they have been behaving poorly without even realizing it.
It's like somebody said something once, and I wish I could quote him. I don't care about how wrong I've been. I care about how right I'm going to be. A listener sent that in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really brilliant. And the thing that I want to say is I ask for consistency. I think that's me being so fair. Like, in other words, if you're going to disagree with me, okay, but now be consistent in your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you see someone that is a drug addict and you think, you know, we've all seen it and we have a little bit of empathy, but then when they take their kids away, we go, come on, man, get some help. You don't get to do that anymore. Now, I know you hate that I'm comparing your addiction to a drug addiction, but your addiction is not making you look bad. Your addiction is not making your teeth fall out. Your addiction is not making your face go gaunt, but it's killing someone that loves you.
Yeah.
Your addiction is killing somebody else. And some people would say that could even be worse. Now, that doesn't mean I don't love you. I love someone. I do mean this. I've had family members that have had addictions, and I love them with every ounce of – with every fiber in my body. Mm-hmm. But because you love someone, it doesn't mean you sit and watch them do destruction. So the next time you hear about a family and they had to take their kids away because the mom was on heroin or their dad or they were alcoholics, say, go to yourself in your car and inwardly go – of course I'm using sarcasm to make a point – go, that's sort of like me. That's how hard it is. Let me tell you something. For anybody that's been through drug addiction, I have a lot of empathy for them, especially and while they're having it and not being able to do anything about it, I have a lot of empathy for them. But empathy and admiration when they get over it, because it's fucking hard. And that's how hard it is for you right now, because you want to wiggle to the right and wiggle to the left and don't. And you might feel like I'm cornering you and I'm comparing you to a drug addict. That's how they feel. Did you ever see someone at the show in intervention when that's why there's an intervention, because there's six people sitting around going boom, 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 boom. You can fight off one person. That's not. But when there's six, mom reads a letter, dad reads a letter, your little brother reads a letter, starts crying. And that makes that person feel cornered. And, yeah, that's why they get up and storm out of the room sometime. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to certain people that might be listening right now. That's how you feel. You feel cornered.
Yeah.
But I'll love you, but you got to take little baby steps. The answers are out there that your son or child is 100% healthy.
Well, you talked earlier about the technological advances. Mm-hmm. It's never been easier to get information. It's never been easier to communicate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff is at your disposal. You know, you will find, of course you will find stuff that's saying homosexuality is this choice that people make and homosexuality is a sin. You will also find plenty of stuff that says, yeah, you know, my son came out and it was hard for me at first, but then I realized it's not a big deal. You know, I watched my mother go through it. My brother's gay. I watched my mother like reason through this whole thing because she had been brought up one way her whole life, had no idea that her son was gay. He came out and I watched her over the years, like figure this out. And it was a process.
By the way, I love that she figured that out before she figured out your career.
that mystified her to the end. But yeah, it's not like she was ever, I don't think she was ever totally comfortable or totally just, it never felt totally normal to her that my brother was gay, right? But she stopped making it seem like it was a weird abnormality. She stopped making it seem like my brother was doing something wrong. And she to her credit, never suggested that it was a choice that he was making. You know, it was something that was outside of her scope of experience that she grew to understand better and better the longer she was alive. Mm-hmm. Because she kept thinking about it and she loved her son and she kept thinking right. about it. You know, she kept her mind open and she was raised Catholic, went to mass every Sunday. You know what I mean? So this was not somebody that was without morals or religion or whatever. She had a set of rules that she was brought up with that said, your son is not normal. She got past that and realized, no, my son is normal. This is a thing that exists in the world, and, right. and it's okay.
And, you know, yeah, you know, I think we're going to move past right now, which will be comforting for me, the, you know, dealing with specific parents or friends that are listening right now. And mm-hmm. I think in that area, you know, look, let me just tell you this as we sort of move on. But now we, like you said, hey, whether we can rattle parents or friends, you always feel like let me relax a little during the show. If I say parents, I'm talking about friends, you know, I feel like someone will go, hey, I'm not a parent. I'm a friend that's having trouble. Whoever sent you.
Hey, there's two kinds of people in this world, friends and parents.
Somebody sent you here. Now, either did some good or didn't. But, you know, I said a long time ago, we should stop trying to say, should teachers be able to be gay? Should doctors be able to be gay? No, stop it. You don't go issue by issue. You don't say, should women be able to be doctors? What about cops? Whatever they fucking want. So the thing here to prove to get simplicity is that being gay is not an illness. Because that's what some people think, that they think, well, no, you love your child, but if he has an illness, you love him and you get him help. Why don't you flip it a little bit, go somewhere, talk. If that's, by the way, if this isn't making you think a little, I say this, I really, because there's nothing I want more than to have it soak into your fiber. If it's not doing anything, then if it is, I would give you a big hug. I would want to take you and hug you and just give you just like the biggest hug in the world. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, and your parents come back to you and this didn't do anything for them, like Paul said, you have to know. Your stability and your sanity isn't dependent on what your parents, where we get them to.
Yeah.
I know if I get them somewhere, it's going to make your life easier. But it's not dependent on whether we get your parents to think logically what you are as a human being. You are absolutely fine, and you need to know that. And you also should know, I should say this right now, that I was really surprised after I went on the Marc Maron show how many people were awesome about this. Now, I knew a shit ton of people would be, but people come up to me after shows and they look like, you know, they're wearing a Flyers jersey in Philadelphia, and they look like they maybe, you know, hey, there's me prejudging. And they come up and they talk to me, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I think, oh, they probably don't know, you know?
Right.
And then they go, hey, by the way, for what you did, good for you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to live a lie. And of course, you know what I do? I walk away and I tear up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there like that.
Yeah.
And that's why my whole thing is, if you're already completely open-minded, speak up a little, because it's so powerful.
Yeah.
And so we're going to sort of, you know what? Maybe I will say one more thing while I feel, you know, they might listen to the whole show. But, you know, for someone that's going through this, I got a letter from someone that's going through this that's bisexual. And I realized, first of all, I do believe that. Some people don't. I absolutely believe it. And by the way, I love when we get to decide. Like, to me, if you're open-minded, you don't need a degree. But if you're going to be closed-minded, you better have a degree. Because you can't ever be too open-minded. Some people might go, you don't have a degree. Yeah, I'm using my non-degree to be open-minded and accepting.
Yeah.
Oh, what if I'm wrong? Well, I'll really...
I love.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because it's like, if it's something else... Because if you're talking about bisexuality...
And I'm about to say, I believe it with no degree, so why can't somebody else be hateful with no degree?
Yes, there's a lot of people who say, like, oh, I don't think that's... That's where they draw the line if they're open-mindedness.
Yeah.
It's like, no, if you're gay, that's a natural thing. People are born the way they're born. It's like, oh, I'm bisexual. Mm-hmm. Nah, no, you're not.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Well, of course there's people that get married to hide that they're gay, and there's people that are honestly bisexual. Yes, we know there's another category of people that they're not bisexual. They're just doing that because it makes their life easier. And then there's a group of people that are absolutely bisexual.
Yeah.
And as times go on, it's not going to be such a big deal. Like, you know, there's that sliding scale. There's some people that are, you know, might experiment in high school. Hey, it's going to get to the point we'll even tell their story. Yeah, I did twice in high school. It was not for me. But, you know, but now if you're for putting numbers on it, if you're 10% bisexual, let's say there's a 10% interest, you might want to ignore it or do it and never talk about it or ignore it. 20% gets a little harder. 50% gets a little harder. But the thing is, what were we talking about that led us into this? About, oh, yes, about someone that's bisexual. Everyone just... gasp.
It was a moment of panic.
Yeah, that I would take 20 minutes now to remember a thought. That I had an extra layer of, oh my God, that's got to be harder. And
now you have people in the other communities who are like, no.
Well, I said empathy is not a competition, so
yes,
stop
exactly.
it. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So I got a letter from a kid that said when he was, I forget what age, and I'm not using his name, obviously, because he said his parents said, they found something, pornographic material, and they said, we will never discuss this again. And I thought about it, and I thought, that's evil. That's evil. Do I think the people that said it were evil? No.
They found same-sex pornographic material?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and they...
And so we'll never discuss this again?
Never discuss this again.
Meaning, like, I don't ever want to hear anything about you liking boys or girls or whatever the situation was.
Mind-fucking him.
Yeah, like saying, essentially, this didn't happen, and it will never happen again, and you put this out of your mind.
Yes, or you know, don't... And I thought, hey, there's someone out there listening right now that's either a parent that did that or a kid that went through it, and I'm like, that's... I'm going to have to, like, you know, you know what I said. I'm trying to, like, talk because I know there's some people that were sent here. Some weren't. But that's hard for me not to use my comedic tools mixed with my passion and go, you get to be You're a monster in disguise. Then I know I go from one extreme to the other, but you look nice and you have a nice car and your hair looks good. But I know words like monster and evil are not loving, caring words, but I think you know what I'm trying to say comedically. Look, maybe this is what I'm going to say before we sort of go off and hit other topics here. Mm. I'm not going to do it like I wanted to do it, but I really wanted to do it like this. I wanted to make up a fake story to let people see what it was like and hear the reactions of our audience. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do a clean edit here. There was a but for the people listening, if we'd leave it this way, you'll know that this didn't happen. But try to go to where it happened. If there was a story in the news about a gay couple that were raising their child to be gay, I'm going to pretend it's real. I'm going to sell it from now like it's real. He's going to be on 2020 tomorrow night. He's 18 now. Such an articulate, brilliant kid. Doesn't speak ill about gay people. The kid himself understand that this was just this gay couple that was, you know, sick, you know, and they were trying to make him be gay. And child services didn't think they should go in and get this kid out of the house. So he lived there. They were made aware of this and they let him be there. And he tried. He did have some homosexual experiences, but he explains the story that he didn't want to. He was not gay, if that was really in the paper, I'd go, oh, this is going to make every gay parent look horrible when it's one. And to say child services didn't go in and get the kid, people would be like, fucking what? Now, you don't have the invested anger right now because you know this is a fake story, but I think you know you're Claire. You'd be like, what? Mm. Well, flip it. Flip it now. If you're doing that to your child and telling him he needs help and you're going to be patient, but he, you know, he's straight, or you're going to take him to therapy to get – it's just as bad. Child services, I know they can't. But yes, in the perfect world, child services would step in and go, no, you can't tell your child that he's not gay any more than you could tell a straight kid that he's gay. It is horrible either way. Mm-hmm. It's just horrible either way. I know. I don't imagine someone listening go, no, it's not either way. If you're telling, I like this guy, but he's not going to make any points with me if he just makes horrible. If you tell a straight kid that he's gay and try to get him to be gay, that's evil. But it's not evil the other way. Yeah, well, it is.
Yeah.
So, listen, this is where we're going to, you know, they might listen to the whole show, but you know what I mean. I'm going to probably relax a little more now that we're moving on to other things. Some of it will be, you know, in this category. I love this quote. It's never too late. By the way, now we're sort of moving on to other topics and everything. Some of it will still be this issue that we're talking about right now. It's never too late to give up on your prejudice. Henry David
Thoreau.
What's his last name?
Thoreau.
Sent in by who? Real loud, if you don't mind, Chris.
J. Mark Boissonneau.
Oh, thank you. Paul. Okay. Martin Luther King.
Chris, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just the only thing I do.
Okay.
You took it away from me. It's my one moment to share.
It's so funny.
Would you have pronounced those French name as well as I did?
I'm sure I was wrong.
It sounded right. Martin Luther King.
I really sold it.
What did he say? What Martin Luther King? Oh, march there. Oh, yes. This is what I want to know. If you showed someone a picture of in the marches, if you look closely, someone pointed this out to me. If you look closely, there's people that in the midst of all the marches that are predominantly not white people, predominantly black people.
Yes.
You see some white people. Mm-hmm. And I always thought it would be good to have a billboard that said would circled them and said, would have that been you?
Yeah.
Now, you might go, I'll never know. I'll never know.
That's the best answer to
that. Well, who wouldn't want to say yes?
I'll never know.
Right. Who wouldn't want to say yes? Let me just get this out real quick. I think people would want to, most people want to go, I think the most open-minded you would get from the average person, not everybody. There'd be people that obviously would go, no, that wouldn't be me because I'm not a fool, you know. Mm-hmm. But there'd be a lot of people that go, I would hope.
Yes. And
you know. Exactly. You don't have to guess.
Yeah.
Look at what's on the table today that mirrors that, and where are you on that? Because that's where you would have been back then, whether you'd like to believe it or not. So, you know.
I think I told you – I don't know if we talked about this here, but I went to a – there was a rally downtown. It was a march for women's rights. because there was a lot of stuff happening in the news about reproductive rights, and it was getting really bad. And so this rally happened downtown that was organized by the it was not organized by the UCB, but they organized a group of people. Like, they spread the word, we're going to have this. There's going to be this rally downtown. Let's all go and represent. And I went with my wife and some friends, and I was very self-conscious about it. I felt very strongly about doing it, but I was very self-conscious about it, and I almost didn't go.
Why?
Just because – why did I feel self-conscious yeah. about it? Because I would be a dude at this women's rights rally, and I just – and that kind of – I've never been that involved in demonstrative political stuff like that, where you actually go and you show yourself. And that was really what it was I was outside of my comfort zone there. But I got to a point where I realized I think it's time to start going outside of that zone of comfort where these things are concerned. If it's something that I care about, I think I have to do it. I think no matter how uncomfortable it is, I think I have to start working towards these things in any way that I can.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point of just caring about right. it and not doing anything?
Paul, we're going to talk about that a little when I ask people that are already open-minded to start being more vocal, yeah. including me.
Yeah.
And let's get to that when we get to it. But
and I'm telling you, Todd, that idea that you've talked about here so much was a big part of my thinking in that. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm happy about that.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
I'm very happy about that. Let me just. By the way, I'm aware of my interview styles right now. They're a little bit rattled. You know, you said something, and then I'm like, okay, let me get over here. But at least I pointed it out, so somebody goes, oh, at least he's aware of it. I just want to. I know what happens when I get through certain things, and then I get to a point where then I'm in a conversation with you that's back and forth, and then
right.
I get some things out of the way, and that's sort of where I'm at right now. This is much lighter, but what's his name up there? This Martin. What is it, Chris?
Urbano.
Say it loud.
Urbano.
Okay, it says, if I
say
were...
Say it one more time, he'll appear.
if I were gay, I would introduce... Because it's hard to know, like, I don't like any of the terms. Like, that's, you know, whether it's significant other or whatever, it's like, oh, they're all... Someone goes, what about husband? I go, I'd rather not be gay if I have to introduce someone as my husband. I know that's horrible for someone else. By the way, this is me. For someone else that introduces your boyfriend as your husband or whatever you introduce, you're the strong one. You're the right one. I'm being honest about some of my problems, and this is what happens when when I grew up like this. You know, it's all normal. I want to get out of it, though. But I think this is funny. He goes, he's not gay, but he goes, if I was gay, I'd introduce my boyfriend as my partner in crime. What is our crime? Disobeying the Lord. I just love that. It's my partner in crime. Yeah, we disobey the Lord. That's our thing. It's
classic Urbano.
Here we go. Here's something else. Say it again. Classic what?
Classic Urbano.
Classic. Everyone knows. Yes. Yeah. Here's another thing in my head. I think about it. You know, I think of people hearing this and wanting to just say that. You know, because if they say what I'm about to say, if they went, oh, you're right, well, then that'd be too easy. So they try to, you know, where can we find that he's wrong? And it says, I can read this one. I thought when you prejudge someone or you're not 100%, 100%, you're spitting in the name of a lot of people. And I'm going to give a few examples. One, for the people that like to wave the American flag and you are or the troops, the God bless the troops, God bless the troops, God bless the troops. Maybe even a cousin or a son or a daughter has lost their life in the military. Whether you agree with this or not, and I would imagine you wouldn't, unless you're not, you're an accepting person. If you are hateful towards a group, whether it's, you know, whatever group it is, you're spitting. You have one thing to do. You have the power to make their life or their death not for nothing. That's an amazing power. You can live on and make their life mean something. And you're indirectly spitting on their grave to go, you know, everything you fought for? Because let's make no mistakes about it. All those wars are because of not being accepting and understanding and loving. And they died for that. Now, you might go, no, they died for that. You don't get handpicked. Yeah. They died for everyone to be treated right and equal and just right. That's all I got to say. And you have the power. to power. That's crazy power. To live your life as an accepting person. And where you're having trouble, like I said, you go get help. You go, I don't want to be this person. I have a child that died in the war. I want to live in his honor or her honor. You know, the same thing. If you're gay and you're prejudiced, and I obviously, you know, if you're gay and you're prejudiced or you're sexist or, you know, you can talk about Matthew Shepard all you want. You have one thing to do to make his life not worthwhile, to make his life worthwhile. One thing. Again, extreme amount of power. And then you go on and you want to talk Matthew Shepard. It's sad. So, you know, but, you know, I could give other examples. Obviously, Rosa Parks, you know, if you're black and you're sexist or you're homophobic, same thing.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
The thing is, it
does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does, but it comes down to no matter who you are, you have to cultivate empathy. You know, you really have to cultivate some sense of we're all human beings and
what's
we all
that say
have,
right there?
It says empathy and
where
breaking
was it?
Cycle.
Next on the list.
It was next on the list.
God, I love Paul F. Tompkins so much I remembered to put the F in. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But it really is like I find that it should be the older you get and the more you experience of the world and the more you experience of other people, your mind should expand and you should understand, we're kind of all pretty much the same. We all have the same, the same feelings. We all have the same hopes, desires, dreams, whatever. We're really not that different. And a gay relationship is not that much different than my heterosexual relationship. It's the same stuff. It's the same. You have the same highs and lows that everybody has. Like, that's the way it's supposed to work, is that you're not supposed to just get smaller and smaller and smaller unless you are afraid, you know. And so much of all of this stuff is fear. It's about fear. But I don't understand how – you know, what you're talking about loving the troops and praising the troops, and the troops, they're there to protect our freedom. Well, what do you think that means? You know, the whole idea of America was founded on – the idea that America was founded on was you could be who you wanted to be, and nobody was going to tell you can't be that thing. Or you're going to be put in jail,
especially
or you're
going
to be put to death.
Especially when, you know, I think the main thing is, and again, sensible people know this, but I don't take for granted if there's three people listening that are going, you know, well, what about murderers? Come on now. If and you might think, Todd, you're going to address that? Nah, it's my neuroses.
Yeah.
To go, two people that aren't hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Two people that aren't
exactly.
hurting anybody.
Exactly.
You know.
We were, you know, the Puritans came over here in the 1600s, and they weren't the nicest people in the world. They were fleeing England because they could not practice the very puritanical religion that they wanted to practice, so they came here. They probably did more harm to people as a small group coming to America than any gay person has
well,
ever done just by being gay.
That's why when I say I ask for consistency, look, you know, we're both – when with every – as we're talking about everything, I always think, okay, what are we saying that's helping change somebody? You know, exposed to just, you know, me spewing out something there, somebody's listening, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you feel like you're hitting something from an angle that could make someone go, someone that's having trouble with their kid, but still mm-hmm. a rational, decent human being. So I always love when people say, you know, it ruins the sanctity of marriage to allow it. Well, I think straight people have done enough to ruin the sanctity of marriage by the divorce rate being 50%.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Yeah.
You don't care about the sanctity of marriage. Cut it out.
Yeah.
Stop it. Be consistent.
Yes.
Be consistent.
Let's
you
not
know?
Pretend.
Let's not. Yeah, right. Like, if you can only agree to disagree when the other person's having valid points. That's why that term exists. Agree to disagree.
Yeah.
It doesn't come over 4 + 4 = 7.
Right.
That's not when you agree to disagree. That's somebody's wrong.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm going to repeat it one more time. If you go to a reliable psychologist, a children's psychologist, overwhelming, they're going to tell you, yeah, this is, you know. And when you reap the benefits, again, of all the – you go to a mechanic – Oh, does it make, I'm going to use the same thing because I think sometimes when you say therapist, people go, oh, ever therapy. It's not hocus pocus. When your mechanic tells you something, oh, well, excuse me, my mechanic thinks as he went to school and studied cars that he... No, he knows what he's fucking talking about. And that's why you listen to a mechanic. Hey, you're taking a road trip? You might want to check this, that, and that. Not because he's God, because he studied that.
Yeah.
And that information is up for your having.
You should put chains on your tires.
Child.
Yeah, you should put chains on your tires because of the snow. Like, no.
Yeah, what do they know?
That's not true. Right.
So that information is out there for you the same way you would go to a mechanic to ask a question about your car or call a professional plumber in. You owe it to your child to call in a professional. Yeah. And if you don't, that's
how about
sad.
This? How about this, too? You could also, following that same analogy, you could also listen to your child, who's the expert on being gay, where you are not. So if you want to know what – do you know what I mean?
Well, here's the problem with that. The parent listening goes, my child doesn't – we're trying to make a parent realize that we're not – what I'm saying is don't trust me that your child's okay.
Right.
I'm saying don't trust me your Volvo's okay. Don't trust me that your sink doesn't need to be fixed.
But you can
I'm
trust
just saying,
your child that your child's okay. Well, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm saying if you don't, at least go to an expert in that area.
I understand, Todd. I understand what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, sure you do. Wouldn't it be great if we got into a fight right now?
But I'm saying it might even be simpler than that, you know?
Think about it for the parent right now listening that doesn't want to trust their child. They think their child, oh, no, of course he thinks he's okay. He needs help.
I'm trying to tell him to trust their child.
Well, believe me, you're right. Trust your child.
Oh, for the parent who's listening, let me say this. Gay people... they just want to be gay with other gay people. They are not they're not interested in converting the world. If that's a thing you're worried about.
It's, you know, the empathy, you know, let's do this. Let's take, you know, that was what are we at now?
We're at about 1:05.
You know what? That's a good place to be. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, read some emails. And that first sort of segment went on, you know, we said we were going to say goodbye to some of those parents that were listening. But, you know, I mean, obviously you're welcome to stick around. But we're done. Now we're just going to talk, not try to rattle anybody out of belief. Now we're just going to have a conversation, which will be a little more relaxing for me. But I hope, you know, I hope that we did something. And I hope, you know, well, there we go.
You never know.
You never know. That's a good way to wrap it up. Okay, we'll be right back. Maybe you'll hear a little music, and then we'll come right back. Alrighty, did you like that little piece of music? So I'm gonna rip.
I did.
What did I play? You'll know what I played.
It was ethereal.
It's whatever you say it is. They heard it. The magic of doing
it was things. Orinoco Flow by Enya.
Okay. Did you like it, everybody?
Everyone loves it.
I want to thank a few people that have sent me emails. It better be good.
Oh, it's the best.
It's only gonna be like 10 seconds. I want to thank a few people. Anybody that sent me a letter about most of the letters, I used to say if you're 90% or get to 100%, if you're 100% or be more vocal. Those letters resonate with me. They mean a lot to me. When someone says, I think I let you down, it's like, oh my God, you didn't let me down. The fact that you even think that you let me down lifted me up and made my whole day. And I get how hard it is. I've still been in situations where you speak up. And I think when I tell people I get how hard it is, they'll go, okay, he knows. Yes, but I'm doing it myself. You know, somebody says something. Again, the thing that I find it cathartic to say is you don't have to go, whoa. In this house, we won't be. You can figure out a way to do it very subtly. You can go, hey, no big deal, and I don't want to. But remember that those people never care about making anybody uncomfortable. They don't ever think,
right.
Hey, before I let out a horribly sexist or homophobic or racist joke, you know, because I said there's two levels of people that are hateful. There's people that are hateful but smart enough to know that not everybody else is hateful. Mm-hmm. So they're secretive with their hate until they get around their closest of close friends to spew out their hate. Yeah. And then there's another level of hateful people that don't think, Yeah, you think everybody else at the Thanksgiving dinner doesn't believe in gay marriage?
Yeah.
No, they all must think what I think. So I'll just say it. Forgetting that a term I use a lot, crushing an adult, but especially a child. They never think about that. They never get home in their car and go, geez, I made that horrible joke, and or I made my opinion that might have made up. They don't. So don't you be so afraid to stick up for the other people. Don't think of ruining the night. Because you don't have to. Think about that you will make someone's night.
Yeah.
I happened to me when I was a child and somebody said something, you know, just a little bit offensive, and then someone corrected them and I felt great, you know. So, and then, but the people that were saying I have to be, you know, have to be more vocal, I get it. You think, oh, is this the time? Maybe it's not the time. And sometimes you might go, it's not. Sometimes you might, but I don't think you ever can do, to be honest with you, even though I empathize when you decide it's not the time, I will tell you this. It's never not the time.
Yeah.
It's just do I understand that sometimes it was the time, but you just didn't have it in you.
Yeah.
But the question is, could you ever make a mistake, like defend somebody? Now, you might yell and scream. I don't want someone listening there turning to their wife because they handled it in a horrible way and go, see, Todd says always speak up. There is a decorum. That you have, is that the word?
Yeah.
That you have to do this. But, you know, it's hard for me to be too hard on anybody that ever defends a group, even if maybe they were a little over the top. Your heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
Even, you know, so anybody that sent me a letter that said, you know, that they're trying to do that, it means a lot to me. Lucas Holmes, you sent me a letter about empathy, which was magnificent, and we're going to put it on the Facebook page. And, so there's that. Somebody said this, and I'm sure you'll have a quick answer to this, Paul. Let me see if I can find it. You know what? I feel so bad. The person that sent this in, I don't have their name in front of me, but you'll know it's you because only one person asked this. Should gay people not get married? Because, you know, there's people that are straight that aren't getting married till all gay people can get married. I figured that was the answer. But explain why to some very nice – it was a younger person that asked, and they asked in a very nice way. Like it was not like – they're not trying to be argumentative. It's almost like they wanted ammunition the next time they heard someone say that to be able to go, here's the difference.
It is the – perhaps the least effective tactic that I've ever heard of in trying to get something done. Because not only does it not hurt anybody but the people – that that aren't getting married in the first place. Like, there's nobody who's saying, oh, I wish those two would get married, but they won't until gay marriage is recognized legally throughout the land. So I don't what do we do here? Like, it sounds pretentious. And what it does is you're bolstering the case of people who say, if homosexuals get their way, they're going to destroy heterosexual marriage. That's – you are making their point for them because you're saying we're heterosexuals and we're not getting married until gay people can get married. So that's – in a weird way, these other people, these bigots can feel justified, like, see what happens. Now gay people, they're tearing down traditional marriage in this way.
You're misunderstanding, I think, the question just a little bit. He's saying – but by the way, glad you did, because you made another point that I think is very valid. Mm-hmm. You're saying that straight people should still get married.
Yes.
Right. And also, my friend has that problem. He said, you know, he is a cop and he gets great benefits and he really does want to, you know, not get married, but it's, you know, he doesn't know what to do. But the question was for people that, let's say they do admire that, oh, you're going to think this question isn't even, well, I don't want to say it from a very kind emailer. I don't want to throw him under the bus because every question, especially when it's about trying to be more open-minded, is a great question.
Yeah.
He said, if some people think, well, straight people shouldn't get married, what about gay people? Because if you're gay and you can get married in Florida, let's say, well, there's still people in Cleveland that can't, you know, wherever they can't get married.
Oh, come on.
That's ridiculous, right?
But people travel to the states where it's legal, right, and they do it there.
And we're fighting for gay people to get married, so that if they're doing it state by state, that's the object, is where it's legal to start doing it.
Now I see why I didn't understand that, because it doesn't make sense.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry to who wrote it, but, you know, I think you're probably, if you're an intelligent person, and I'm saying you are, maybe even hearing it. Yeah, because here's what's going on for people that are saying we're fighting for gay people to get married. So more I understand if there's a straight person. I get that. If they go, I'm not doing it till everybody can do it, I get that.
Yeah.
But the reason is you don't throw gay people into that is because we're fighting for them to get married. So where they can get married, that's the goal. Start getting married.
Is the idea of out of solidarity that if you're a gay person lives in Florida and it's – is it legal in Florida? Can't be legal.
I'm making up states. I don't know.
If you're in Massachusetts and you get married, then because it's not legal in Pennsylvania, should you feel like, well, we shouldn't do it? You know, yeah, that's not the way. No, if you're in Pennsylvania, go to Massachusetts and get married.
Right. And then this is Ben Black sent this in a long time ago, and I really sometimes on the show I have, you know, obviously, like, you know, I talk for a living, but I get tongue-tied, and he sent something in that I thought it really made me feel good about what he said. It just – guess what I just realized? I have no headsets on. Anyway, not that that was important to bring up.
I thought that was going to lead to something else.
No.
So I can do this.
Just the highlighted part?
Yeah, just the highlighted part.
Ben Black said, "Sometimes you put into words things I couldn't quite articulate on my own, and other times when you're struggling to get at what you mean – it forces me to articulate my feelings to meet you halfway. Either way, you're helping people turn vague notions into solid mindsets, clear ways of thinking that help keep the poison out. Good on ya."
Well, let me tell you something, Ben Black. I really appreciated getting that, and you said it more articulately than I could have ever said it. Martin Luther King here. It said it's a quote from Martin Luther King. Read his name and then the yellow parts.
From Tyson Mott, he said...
Oh, because I always say that... good, read what he said. Oh, I'm always saying if you're a 90%er, why do I have so much frustration? 90%ers, you're right. Pretty open-minded, but you know, you're still going, oh, but why do they want this? Or why do they... My son is gay, and a matter of fact, or my daughter's gay, and her girlfriend went on a trip with us last year, and we had a great time, and we loved her, but with the marriage, what's wrong with the civil union? To me, that's one area of a 90%er. Mm-hmm. So he put in... Martin Luther King sort of echoed those words. It makes me feel like I'm on the right track to why that is sometimes even worse for me. So right. Can you?
He said, "I thought of this while listening to your last serious podcast. I believe it is the point you're trying to make when you talk about 90%ers. And it's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. The Negro's great stumbling block in his stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection."
You know what? I'm going to pull an Oprah. Stop and take that in, because that's just... Matter of fact, guess what I'm doing? I'm going to play that again.
He said, "I thought of this while listening to your last serious podcast. I believe it is the point you're trying to make when you talk about 90%ers. And it's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. The Negro's great stumbling block in his stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection."
And there, you just heard it again. That
now,
just...
Now, everyone look under your seats.
Look under your seats. There's kazoos. That was
the
just
the worst Oprah giveaway.
Oh, that. I thought you meant. I didn't even put that together. A brand new car.
You get a kazoo.
Gold kazoos.
I don't know why we're sort of as we you know, we got a little while. You're okay, right?
Yeah. I'm a great person.
I always think that it's. I always think that. When you hear someone talk about something they don't know anything about, like if you were at a party, and I'm going to go back to mechanic or plumber, whatever, it's always like we respect those. That boggles my mind, as Irv Homer used to say growing up in Philadelphia, because we do respect so many professionals. And I think people, when it comes to comedy, the same thing happens, believe it or not. You think, oh, well, we all have our opinion. But Well, yes and no. Like, why are you leading when you should be listening? And if you want to know what you look like, when you know when people go, oh, like, well, here's what we should do with people in prisons. Here's what we should do with people in prisons. Well, did you study that? Because I would think the outcome of most people would be want less murderers on the street and less rapists and less, you know, dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you say and you really want that, you would go, I want that. Now let's divert to experts to get that.
Right.
And I heard a woman that was on, you know, it was one of those you turn on and there's like just a heartwarming story. And she was brutally attacked and raped. Mm-hmm. And she... You know, look, when you say forgive, you know, the person says, can you say, the interviewer, almost a little stupid, goes, so you're saying you have not an ill place in your... And she very articulately explained, no, I don't want to hang out with that person. But that person operated on... And then we'll go back to the prison thing, what the way I feel about that, how we should treat our prisoners. That she said the reason she forgave that person, which we hear this a lot. We hear people in a, you know, they've had their child killed by a drunk driver and they forgave. In some cases, even there's two women that tour around that talk about drunk driving. It's the woman that killed her son and her and the mother, mm-hmm. which to me is, you know, the only positive thing you could do with just a god-awful situation. Mm-hmm. So you hear those situations of extraordinary people that forgive other people, and sometimes it even, you know, this one even was hard for me, but I knew she did the right thing. And the way she said it brought clarity to it. She goes, the guy who attacked me operated on fear and hate. I operated on peace and love, and I won. And I love that she said she won, because it's like almost indirectly going, I don't want to, I'm not a saint. I'm just saying I won. I like to win. And by operating on love and forgiveness and peace, she won. And that's just what, you know, when I just think when people say, put him in prison and lock him up, and whoa, I would imagine you did a shitload of research to find out that's going to end the negative things that are happening in this world. See, and I don't do that. I go, I want to hear what experts say. If experts say, if you take away their TVs, then this will take away their fucking TVs. But I don't just have this opinion.
Yeah,
I don't lead. It's like, well,
yeah, it's the idea that, hey, these guys have broken a law, and they've gone to prison. And what prison is for them to be treated as horribly as possible. The idea.
And by the way, let me interject real quick. This sounds crazy, but people will know what I'm saying. If treating them as horribly, if they go, yeah, that's what makes it. It all works. We end up with less. I go, okay, but I think experts will say it.
I think probably most experts will say that.
Yes,
not,
yes.
That's not.
By the way, I'm not saying they shouldn't be locked up. I'm not a maniac. Well, unfortunately, things happen to people. We need to lock them up. But we're talking about what to do when they're locked
the
up.
The idea of prison is, these people have transgressed the laws of society. The law, it's one thing that we have, you know, we have the court system, we have laws, and it says these things are illegal. And the reason those things are illegal is because they transgress the laws of society. You're not supposed to take another person's life. You're not supposed to rob people. You're not supposed to do these things. That's what makes us a society. So if you break one of these laws of society, you are removed from society for a period of time that is deemed appropriate for you to learn to not do that anymore. The punishment is your removal from society. That's the punishment. It's not the idea that – the idea of prison is not that, you know what? You robbed this guy's house. So we're going to send you to a place where you will be assaulted every day for the rest of your – you know, for the rest – you know, for 10 years, and then you'll get out. You know, that's the – that's not what the punishment is supposed to be. That is a thing that happens in prison, but that's not the idea of it. And sometimes you do have to get philosophical about these things. You do have to remember that's not why that was set up. Prison was not set up as, we're going to send you to a place where people are just going to beat the shit out of you. You're going to be sexually assaulted. And when you when you come out of there, you're going to be a shell of a human being. That's not the idea. And so when you remove TVs, when you serve them slop, when you make them wear pink uniforms or whatever, like that crazy guy in Arizona does, when you dehumanize people and humiliate them, That's not supposed to be the idea of this. And so prison reform is a very important thing, and it
We're not two kooks sitting here going,
yes,
we get, you know, things happen and people have to be removed. But
so here's the point. Here's why you want prison reform, and here's why you want that to get better. It's so that we get better as a society and we become more humane. And so the idea is somebody who goes to prison because they robbed a house or for whatever crime that they committed will say, oh, okay, I have a chance now to redeem myself. There's a chance to truly rehabilitate someone and re-educate them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't get, maybe they had a rough time how they grew up, where they come from. This is now we have a chance to make those people into better people and actual members of society.
Right, and the goal of a reasonable person shouldn't be to hear this and think of examples to go right to, rush there,
yeah,
to go, well, yes, I would agree that there's probably certain people in prison that can't be rehabilitated, but it's about the ones that can.
Yes, there's levels of it. You know what
right.
I mean? There's levels of it. It's not just like you just dump everybody in there. Like somebody who's a, mm-hmm. who's a psychopath or a sociopath that kills people and that is, you know, psychologically proven to be beyond redemption. That's a whole different story than a guy who stole a TV, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, not only would it be there's a lot of people going, oh, they're talking about, yeah, no shit what they're saying. We're talking about, but there's – I've been at dinners where somebody says something, lock him away, put away the key, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And even for the people that there's no chance of them ever getting out of prison, if they were treated kinder in prison, there'd be less – obviously, there'd be less people that are in there working getting hurt, too.
Yes.
There, you know, so anyway.
And guess what? Not everybody in prison is there for the same reason. They're not all equal. They didn't all do the same thing. Some people might be innocent, too, and they ended up in prison. You know,
so while we're I don't know why I feel I wanted to talk about this next thing, believe it or not, because it seems a little lighter. We've talked about this a lot. Paul.
Todd.
I can't believe how hard it is. I with some work, there was a comedian that we was arguing over using the word retarded. And by the way, Paul, you know we've talked about this before. There's
yes.
probably still some people.
Yeah.
You know my theory on that. They all say everyone's so sensitive. And I got into this thing with my – I want to be very vanilla here because it's someone I know and it's their – well, they're not going to listen to Pius. Someone I know and it's their boyfriend.
Right.
And he talked about some of those words. He used the word retarded. And that we'll talk about. But then when comedians – defend it. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
That's what just, you know, it's just really you're a wordsmith.
I understand it.
Like, okay, let me just get this out.
Yeah.
I really do want to, but I don't understand. This person seemed to be this way. We can't say this word. We can't say that word. We can't say this word. It's like, what's next? Well, why do you want to know what's next? Well, you're basically going, when am I going to be done evolving?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean what's next? Like, oh, I learned this in math. I learned that in math. Well, I have to keep learning math. Why don't you want to keep evolving?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to go? Yeah. And here's my point. Why you should stop saying that word. Before you think someone should stop saying that word, you have to ask what they think of the words in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I'll lecture someone, I have to ask some questions. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to have to come up with sort of a fake answer because no one else is, you know, the person. But if you ask somebody, hypothetically, did you stop using the word Jew me down because you just got tired of being corrected? You know, because there are those people. They just
right.
I did this with this person. I go, be honest with me. You're in a room with me. We can agree to disagree. I want you to be honest with me. Did you stop using the word Jew me down because you realized, well, Jewish people are very sensitive and I got yelled at and but that's not what I meant. I just meant get a bargain. Or did you stop it because Jewish people were, and by the way, we always say Jewish people. How about, you know, it's like saying, you know, people that aren't Jewish that get that's offensive. Anybody,
yeah.
intelligent or
yeah,
Jewish,
yeah.
especially maybe, because it hits home a little worse. And they went, no, that's not nice. I go, and again, we're having an intelligent conversation. We have to use these words. Would you use the word nigger rig or nigger rich? Because, well, yeah, it's okay to say it, but you got, or did, because if they're saying, if someone's saying to me, no, that's horrible to use someone's being as an adjective.
Mm.
That's disgusting.
Mm.
The same thing I say with Jerry's kids. It used to be okay at a comedy club to say somebody would drop something, yes. And then someone would go, "Oh, Jerry's kids
are
here tonight."
God,
did you stop saying that because it was unfair? So you know, either way, someone's going to answer. Yeah. I would imagine someone's going to go with when you use the words in the past. Mm-hmm. That well, they're still hateful people, but you know what I mean. We've come a further way with the words I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Most people would say, "No, I wouldn't use those words because that's so." You don't think oh, they're so sensitive. Those groups, we weren't doing anything wrong, but you know, no, you'd go, "No, they weren't sensitive. They were offended, rightfully so."
Yeah.
Then why do you think the words that are on the table now are going to be any different? Why are you holding on like it's a life preserver?
Yeah.
And they always want to say everyone else is so sensitive. And again, I'm done because I've said this before. I'm just trying to squish it all in the one episode. You're sensitive. Mm-hmm. You don't want to believe it. And this person said, "Well, if people wouldn't just..." I'm tired of being yelled at. I go, "You know what?" I go, and I don't want to say the person.
Really?
You were never yelled at.
Yes.
People that are defending
tired
other people's rights.
Yelled at.
Yeah, you were never yelled at.
Yeah.
You know how I know? People that are defending other people's rights are usually intelligent, and they're not yelling at you. No one's saying, "You stop using the word retarded. It's offensive." No, they probably pulled you aside and you felt like a little kid. When a little kid gets reprimanded, he goes into the room and he tells, "Daddy yelled at me."
Yeah.
But if you saw a reenactment, you go, "Well, Daddy didn't yell at you. He corrected you."
Mm-hmm.
And a little kid feels yelled at. As an evolved adult, you're supposed to go, "You were never yelled at. No one aggressively ever said, 'Don't say Jew me down. It's disrespectful.'" No. You were kindly... In probably 100% of these situations, you're just getting fed up with growth.
Yeah.
Now, take it to a comedian. What do you think the reason is?
It's laziness. It's laziness. Pure and simple. Comics don't want to give up a joke that has a punchline, that has a powerful word in it, because then they have to write a new joke. It's laziness. That's all it is, Todd. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, no.
That's all it is. Because you know those words have an impact, and now they have a different impact. They have more of an impact. We're on this bubble right now where they have more of an impact. It works even better because they're a little taboo, but it's going to go on the other side. That bubble's going to pop. And pretty soon you're going to be the other side of it where it's like, ugh. Like we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. like doing that 1970s, you know, black voice. You know, there was a period where all of a sudden it's like, "Oh, I can't believe that guy's doing that. Like, that's horrible," you know. But there was a time when you and I were coming up in the clubs where that was a hilarious thing that nobody questioned, you know. And now it's not cool anymore. Eventually it's going to be that way. When I was younger, I used the word retarded. We all did. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like a thing we said. And then gradually, and nobody ever yelled at me, I gradually realized, oh, yes, I seem to be noticing that people have a problem with this word and that it's an impolite word to use and that it hurts somebody's feelings. Not that, oh, people are so sensitive these days, but that there's a group of people who have been described that way and would prefer not to hear that word anymore.
Rightful.
It's as simple as that. Oh, okay. Well, then I'm not going to use that word anymore because there's a million words at my disposal, right? And my job is knowing words to use for impact, to make them funny, to make people laugh. It's my job to use these words, to construct them in such a way that people laugh and everybody's having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you're a wordsmith, by the way.
Yes.
Whatever comedian you are, I know that's a wordsmith. But yeah, you're a wordsmith.
But we all are.
Right.
My use of vocabulary is probably different than a lot of comedians, people that just talk plain folks, whatever. You choose words carefully for the impact that they have, you know, mm-hmm. not to shock people, to make people laugh. But I would say my point is, I stopped using that word in my life, much less on stage, and it has had zero impact on me. Zero impact on my life. I'm still walking around a free United States citizen, and I never once felt like, oh, I want to say that word so bad, but I can't do it.
Well, they always say like, you know, but it's basically saying when you go, I'm not going to be able to say anything anymore. Paul, that's when I want to – I put my hand on the top of my head because it hurts in the back because ignorance, you know. And it's like –
I'm not going to be able to say any offensive words anymore.
That's like saying if you go to therapy, with somebody, and you, what we're doing is basically we're asking you to be sensitive,
yeah,
or not sensitive, understanding of other people's feelings.
Yes.
If you're in therapy and a husband said to his wife, you know, I feel this way and it hurts me when you say that, and she goes, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to say anything to you anymore.
Yeah.
That's, no, that's not what therapy is about. You're going to be able to say a lot. You're just going to learn how to say it. And, you know, I did this once with a friend. I don't know if I could do it with a stranger. But to me, you know, it could be really powerful if you just find out something about the other person and with a straight face sell it. When somebody uses the word retarded, go, you know what's funny? They use the retarded like when someone does something stupid. I always say Jew. To see how they react.
Right.
Because if you can do that with a straight face and go, oh my God, I'm sorry. And they're going to go, why? I go, maybe it's because of where I grew up. But we always thought, if you know they're Jewish, say that. Mm-hmm. If you know, because I would really be curious. This person knew what I was doing and they were like, all right. But I would be interested in a situation where you just found out something about that person. They go, they use the word retarded, or if they say the word gay and you go, I don't, it's funny. You say gay because it's dumb, right? No, I don't care. I don't care. It's funny because in my family, we say woman. Like when we see a movie, like, oh, who would want to see that? We just, woman in our house always meant dumb. Because I don't know. I guess you know, they're going to be like, what? I can't imagine they'd be like, person that used those words, I cannot imagine, and these are all fake scenarios because I'm playing both parts. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine someone going, oh, yeah, I say woman instead of retarded. That they would go, oh, well, you know, whatever word you use is fine with me. Obviously, I'm using the word retarded. I'm not going to be like, you can't say woman. No, you say woman. They're going to be a little bit like inwardly, wait a second.
Yeah.
You can't use me for the adjective for stupid. You use that for the I'll use whatever I want for the adjective of stupid. If you're going to defend your grounds.
Yeah.
You know, I say both of us don't use a human being as the adjective and we find a good adjective.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
express yourself better. It's not hard.
Make it very clear all the time. When someone asks you to stop saying something, we love when people say you can't. Oh, you know, and it's, by the way, as we move on, it's always the comedians that say, you know, you can't say anything anymore that have nothing to say.
Yes.
George Carlin, find any article where he talks about what he can't say, because you can say anything you fucking want. Now, maybe people might argue with what you say and not agree with what you say.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can say a lot.
Yeah.
You can say a lot. It's my voice I always go to. You can't say that word. No, I won't be able to say anything.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it. Back then. We're doing good. Back then. What did you say? I've been on this, you know, keep going. What if I...
Yeah.
Spree.
No. Spree. Spree's closer. Spree. Mission.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's getting interesting.
For people that say back then. I just feel like a lot of the problems, and you know what? Nothing, I'm echoing some of the things I said before. Nothing makes me happier than I get a tweet from somebody or an email that goes, thanks for defending us. Because I felt the same way when I was 25. People were still saying back then.
Yeah.
And I said, I think kids are doing pretty good today. If every child in the world today was one child, the child services would come in and take them away because we're not giving them any compliments. Right. And I could never say, by the way, some of the other stuff I say, oh, I've said that before, I'm sorry. I said that before, I'm sorry. Oh, someone's listening. Todd, this one I will never apologize for because I could never say this enough to match how much they're hearing it from the other end about, you know, adults going back then, all our problems back then. When all our problems are because of what you did back then, I'm surprised. You know how I know kids overall are pretty decent today? Because I've never seen a kid haul off and plow an adult, punch him in the face. Because now, if a kid's wrong, well, then he'd be wrong. But I think he's right. If a child or a kid, I should say, or a young adult understands that most of the problems we have today are from what happened back then, and then not only does an adult not acknowledge that, but he blames the kid. Imagine the rage that would build in you that you're saying, I'm not going to attack you, but you're certainly not going to tell me it's my fault when I know it's your fault.
Yeah.
To haul off and just punch him. You're not going to blame me for all the problems. We're making strides in being open-minded and accepting. You're going to blame me. So you did everything so right back then. How'd everything end up so fucked up?
Right.
And the new thing that I've been trying to talk about in my act is when people say back then, like they'll go, back then a guy would, you know, open up a he'd open up a door for a lady, you know, or he'd get up when she walked into a room. Yeah, and he wouldn't let her vote, you dumb fuck. It's a trade up.
Yeah.
It's a trade up.
Exactly.
And the thing that I explained to my nephew, and I don't even think he understands, and tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, I know we're always pretty much on the same page, but tell me if I said, I don't think people paid for women back then or opened doors for them out of respect. It was because, now I'm using sarcasm, obviously, to make my point. Where would she get money? She's a housewife.
Right.
And you better open the door for the frail little lady.
Yeah.
It wasn't respect. It was like women are frail and women are.
Yes. It was all about the gender roles of the time.
Yes. I will get up.
And about equality and inequality. Yes, yes. Absolutely.
And when people talk about opening the door, I always go, I open the door for anyone behind me.
Yeah.
So I'm. they think I'm spitting on opening the door.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, you know. So I love when you can, you know, look. This is probably in a weird way. This is sort of what we'll – there's one more thing to talk about after this, just so you know where we're going and, you know, how much energy you exhaust.
I can count pieces of paper.
You're good? Yeah, you can see them here. To me, it's just – you know, it's just – I don't think we're at a horrible place in the world. I'm not trying to give people positive – I'm not trying to delusionally think things are right. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are going forward. But if we look at it, like, I know when you see these school shootings and you go, oh, what's going on? And, you know, and but somebody tweeted me this and I loved it. It's just to me, comedically taking a hammer and smashing a back then. Back then, you could leave your doors unlocked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Holocaust was happening outside.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that like it's like, yeah, let's look at where we were in the world. Look at what was going on. And to me, here's where we're at now. And again, I'm repeating myself, but I'm condensing it into one episode here. It's like if somebody said back then, hey, we're going to mind fuck all these people. We're going to tell gay people they're not equal. We'll tell black people this. We'll tell women this. And somebody goes, this will be great. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Do you know how easy of a life we'll have? We'll be like, we're white guys. We'll have a life. Yeah. And then the other guy goes, maybe he's a teeny bit smarter, goes, but what if they found out that it wasn't true, that they were equal? Would there be mayhem? First of all, that won't happen. And if it does happen, what are you saying? If everyone found out that we should all be equal, will there be mayhem? No. Well, they found out. And there's mayhem right now. And there's a lot of it's just all a mess. But I'm telling you, there's yes, kids need to hear this, that they're great. They're more accepting. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of good happening in this world right now. And, to me, when I hear it, like I remember once hearing an adult say when they read about child molestation, something about child molestation in the church, and they go, I get it. I don't even want – I try not to be too hard because it's almost a legitimate question. I should be happy I could slant you in the right direction, not angry. But sometimes anger evokes when they go, what's going on today with all these child molestations? I go – we're acknowledging what you ignored.
Yeah.
You don't think it all happened. Where do you think altar boy jokes came from? When I was in second grade, there were altar boy jokes. That's because kids were getting molested. Now you're going to put – now to me, I see an older person putting that on kids. Like, what's going on today in this world? Mm-hmm. Oh, we're discussing what you – no one talked about that back then because it was shameful if you were molested.
And you're still trying to do things the same way.
Right.
Like the church is still trying to do things the exact same way where it's just like we're just going to make this go away. And it's the proof right there that the more you acknowledge this stuff, the better it is because the more you can deal with it and prevent it from happening again.
The more you're – it sounds a little cliche, but the more you're honest, like back then, you know, I know what people did. I get why there's a better image of back then, and I'll say it in a silly way. People took the time, obviously using triple doses of sarcasm to make my point. Here's what they took the time to do back then. With all the dysfunction in the family, they shut up about it, and they put on some nice fucking sweaters, and they took a fucking family picture.
Right.
That's why.
Exactly.
So the kid that was gay was sad. The kid that was an alcoholic didn't discuss it. The mother was raped. The whole family didn't go to family counseling to help mommy through this. They never discussed it again. Mm-hmm. Daddy was unhappy in his marriage. He left. They didn't even know they had brothers and sisters. So, I mean, I said the way I feel about that. And, you know, I think we're at a good place. I think, you know, things aren't perfect, but we are doing good things and kids are doing great things. And, you know, I don't know why anybody, while they're on this planet, wouldn't want to be like, you know, if you're a skier, you want to be the best skier in the world. So why don't you want to do that to making people feel great? And I'll admit, here's why I like doing this. And maybe I'm saying I'm proud of myself, or I don't know if I'm proud of myself. Maybe I'm happy about what I made happen. I walked into the elevator and there were two young girls and they were kissing.
Go on.
And I got in the elevator and I went, and you know me, as open-minded as I am, and I think I'm very progressive. I look like a, you know, when I'm going to the gym, my hair's, you know, parted down the side. I look like a regular business guy on his way to the gym. I don't have tattoos. I don't.
Right.
And I walked in the elevator and I went, I caught you. And she goes, it's embarrassing. You shouldn't be embarrassed. You should be proud that you have someone that loves you. And they both giggled. I got off the elevator and I thought, that's the world they live in. That wouldn't have fucking happened 30 years ago.
Oh, my God, no.
That wouldn't have happened ever 30 years ago.
Not
saying there weren't people that were ahead of their time and that did feel that. Obviously, 30 years ago, there were people that felt that way. That's very important if there's someone listening that.
But here's the thing. They wouldn't have done it.
Yes. They wouldn't have.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
They wouldn't have taken that chance.
The truth tells the truth. We're taking the time to say that they're. Yes. If you're 70 and you happen to be listening to this and you're going, oh my God, is Todd insinuating? No, there were people ahead of their time back then, but that's what they were, people ahead of their time.
I like the idea of the 7-year-old's like, hold on a second, I was open minded.
Well, because you think of, I always still think of 70 as 70's like some hip guy out there that's 70 or a woman. My mom's 70.
No, but I mean, like, one person in particular is like,
oh, yeah.
That wasn't me.
Wait a second. I was. People might feel that way when you don't take the time to clarify. That's why growing up, you know, what makes the phones light up on radio is sometimes being vague and not taking the time.
Yeah.
That's why I say I'd make a horrible, in regular radio, I'd make it horrible because I'd preface it and the producer would go, tell them to stop prefacing. People are hanging up. They want the guy calling in. I'm 70. I was open-minded back then. So there we go. Back then. So I just want that because to me, even a reasonably intelligent person, very intelligent, could be confused right now. And I hope I brought clarity to that of, is the world getting worse? No. We're going forward and everything's good. And here's what we're going to close with. Comedians.
Comedians.
You know, I have a hard time getting past. I could have never talked about this before I, came out. Ugh, what a term. But I have a hard time. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. I have a hard time getting past, but I think it all makes sense, Mitt Romney being so, you know, backwards.
Mitt Romney-ish?
Yeah. When it comes to gay marriage. He's not even, you know, to me, he just, you know. And
yeah.
To me, it's bigger than that. It's about being accepting towards all groups of people. I shouldn't dislike him because he is not accepting of gay people. I should be accepting for him, not accepting of him or not liking him because of all the groups of people that he doesn't accept.
Mm.
And I love when it starts to hit the other groups, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, there's someone out there that's unemployed that's working their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Not sucking off this government. Hard-working, decent people. The majority of unemployed people.
Yeah.
Hard-working, decent people that are just struggling to work. And they want to fucking work. Okay, it sounds kind. And they're homophobic. So when he says these things that are homophobic, they'll vote for him. But then it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now he's hitting your group. And one by one, he's going to hit them all.
Yeah.
He's going to be you're going to find out that very few people are isolated, hateful in one area. They just can't talk about the other areas.
Yeah.
It's not socially acceptable. But that's a group that you can still publicly. Be closed-minded about. The other groups you can't. They're the type of things that they record and no one gets to hear.
Yeah.
But as he hits your group, welcome to the club, and he'll hit your group. And my friend, I won't use her name, said something. First, I said, what if he does have... I said a what if, and most people that I try to have this conversation with go, he doesn't have the answers to our economical problems. I go, do me a favor to keep it clean. Let's... hypothetically, because the only way to have this conversation is to go, he does. Let's say he really does have the answers to some of our problems. Do we vote for him? And my friend's wife said, it takes time. Yes. We don't get there overnight. In other words, he's not there in that. But I don't think we get You know, do you understand what she's saying?
Yeah.
Agree or disagree? She's saying you can't. He's not there yet, but he'll get there. If he has the answers to some of our economical problems, you vote for him, even though you don't agree with him in this area. And Daniel Kino said something that I thought makes sense, because first he said something, and I like that I argued it, because I don't like having analogies, at least that I feel, are ironclad. Mm-hmm. Hey, for the opposing view, they don't think any of my analogies are ironclad, but I do. He said, usually if you have the answers, if you're forward-thinking enough to have the answers to our economical problems, you're going to be socially open-minded too. And I went, I'd love to believe that, but there can be a scientist that's, you know, sexist or homophobic. I got to, you know. He said, maybe to put a Band-Aid on our problems.
Right.
Put a Band-Aid on our problems, as referencing Reagan. Again, whether right. you agree with the Reagan did that or not, you know what we're talking. He goes, but to really answer the problems long-term, to make this a better world, you're going to include everybody. You're not going, come on, everybody, I got your answers to your economical problems. Gay people, we'll come back and get you.
Yeah.
We'll come back. He goes, if you're forward thinking enough to not put a Band-Aid on the problems, because that, yes, you're mm-hmm. saying he can't, but I'm going to say, yeah, Daniel goes, yeah, he can put a Band-Aid on the problems. But to really get us out of this mess long term, you're going to be, if you're that evolved to do that, you're going to be that evolved in being accepting of people.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And I love that this person said they would vote for him because it's my best friend's wife, and it frustrates me that she said, we have to take our time. And I want to say this to her. Go back. I'm going to let her – you have to let people pick their own – don't give examples that they'll argue with. Let them pick their own examples. So yeah. I want to say, instead of referencing a plight of the past, let them – what is a plight that you think does – because you know sometimes you compare it what do you call it? Rights to black rights. What's mm-hmm. the
civil rights?
Civil rights, or you, they'll go, well, you shouldn't compare it. So instead of me thinking of one, I want to say to this person, you pick one. What is a plight that was going on back 30, 40, 50 years ago that you would compare? And whatever plight they pick, mm-hmm. so you're saying that you would have voted for a president that in 1950 had the answers but didn't think black people should marry white people.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go, but they can fix the economy. You'd do that? I don't know what they would say. Hey, by the way, they could go, yeah, I would. But that says more about them. I'm going both ways. I'm not happy with the answer. I'm not cornering them in an answer. I know there's two answers. They might go, yes, I would. And I'd go, whoa. Or they'd go, no, I wouldn't. And I'd go, don't do it now.
Yeah.
Does that make
– Yeah, is absolutely. It, yeah. I mean, this is where the idea of we need a businessman to come in and run the country and run it like a business. Well, beyond just how stupid that is, because countries and businesses are two different fucking things. Look at the way this guy has run businesses, and do you want him running America like that? He's just straight up like it's all about profit and it's not about the workers. So how do you think that's going to go for you if this guy is in charge? And then maybe the people that make the profits, they're going to do very well, and the people that are the workers are not going to do very well. But also, I would say this about Mitt Romney. There's a conservative writer named David Brooks put this very well on Meet the Press not long ago. I think it was after that, right after that, you know, the secret recording of him, the 47% of people that just love, they feel entitled to this government stuff, like all this insane stuff. David Brooks said, the thing about Romney is like, you don't buy that he believes this stuff. So when he talks about social issues, when he talks about the sanctity of marriage, and he talks about all this stuff, I don't think he cares. I don't think that he feels that strongly about it. I think this is just a rich guy who wants to be president. And he was a more progressive governor in Massachusetts than he is as a candidate for president of the United States, because I don't think he gives a shit. I think it's all the same. I honestly don't think that Mitt Romney is threatened by gay people. I don't think he's threatened by gay marriage. I think he is saying the things
that's how I
that
can...
people want to hear. I don't think he cares. I think it's interesting to him to be president. You know?
Well, yeah, it's you know, all I can say as we go to close, number one, you know, we talked about that billboard, or what I would hope to be a billboard. There it is, 1,000 black people. There's the white people. You want to think that would be you.
Yeah.
Well, you got to start. You got to start living that today if you want to. Because, by the way, if there's somebody out there, like we said before, that goes, "No, that wouldn't have been me," and I don't care, it wouldn't have been me. Well, then I'm not addressing you. Yeah. But if you're someone that's sitting there going, "I would hope to fucking God that would have been me," well, you have to start living that today.
Yeah.
You don't get to just say, "I hope it would be me." No, fuck hope.
Yeah.
You got to say, "Why do you think it would be you?"
Yeah.
And then give examples of where you're being a forward-thinking person today. Forward-thinking means there's still people that aren't. You're forward-thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not the person back then that goes, "Well, they shouldn't have the same bath. They shouldn't have the same bathrooms, but they should at least be nice bathrooms."
Yeah.
And then when they want the same, you go, "Oh my God!" Those people that marched were people that went. They were forward-thinking that got out there. So you don't get to just – and I don't know why, Paul, this is cathartic for me to say it. I hope I'd be one of those people. I love saying it again. You – no, fuck hope. You got to you need to point to specific things. And you know what? You should be able to pat yourself on the back. You going down to that march. If someone – if you say that, Paul, and you go – if someone said to you, "Would you be one of those people, the white people marching?" And you go – "I hope I would be," and someone will go, "Why?" You get to go listen to Todd Glass's podcast. I went to the, that's what you do. You don't get to just hope,
right?
Well, you don't get to go hope.
But the thing is, let me say this though, in the defense of these the phantom people that we're talking about, who
well, they
may
do
or may not exist.
I mean, yeah. You know,
but that I understand that feeling of I hope I would be one of those people, because when you think about. When you think about that time, it's very scary. You know, it's very it was very turbulent, and you know, people are getting sprayed with fire hoses, and people are having dogs sicked on them and stuff like that. I can understand how your natural response would be fear, even if you believe.
Well, then let me just say.
So what my point is now. That stuff's not happening. Like, you see the Occupy Wall Street movement is the closest we've gotten to that recently in this country, where people were having a form of peaceful protest and were getting pepper sprayed in the face at close range. You know what I mean? So it's not quite the same as it was. So, okay, you're not sure what you would do then. Be sure of what you are going to do now. You know, I'm not gonna hold you accountable for, you know, this thing that you know this time travel situation. But okay, you're here now. So now, what are you gonna do?
Well, I think you're cleaning up what I'm saying, and I'm glad you did in a much more articulate way, as Ben Black would say, sometimes needs to be done. Yes, why am I getting hot up on those words? You could say, "I hope I would be." And basically what I'm saying is now be able to look into your present and
yes,
be able to go
you
with
hope
some,
you would be then, you're here now,
right,
now what?
Right. Yeah. And what I'm saying is you're saying, I think, let's say you said, "I think that would have been me." You should be able to look at some examples. Someone goes, "Well, what are you doing today that's so progressive?"
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy that something we've moved past. Well, we haven't completely moved past, but we've made strides. It's easy to say that. It's sort of embarrassing to say, "No, I would have never done that." And by the way, then that was real danger, like you're saying, because you. But with social media today, you know, you can do things. You can tweet powerful things. You can, you know, send. You know, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
And if you're a comedian and you're on stage, there's a shit ton you can do.
Yeah,
you know. So there we go. Thank you. You know, I was – these guys, let me – so they don't think I don't appreciate it. No, I didn't want to – I'm more comfortable because they're here every week, even though you didn't hear a lot out of Irk or Chris, Eric. Well, we've talked about that on the show. I have a hard time saying his name, so I say, "Can I come up with a
–
Oh, okay. And Katie, thank you very much. Irk, thank you very much. Chris, I just – they're here every week, so I was more comfortable doing this with them here, and I know they, you know, didn't – they just were here for moral support. Not that I'm not comfortable alone in a room with you, Paul, but so there, how long was that?
About 2 hours.
Well, you know what? It took 2 hours. Now, from now on, every time I have a thought on the regular show, I'm gonna just spend some time. That way this will never happen again. And guess what we didn't even get to?
I saw that. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, spanking kids. there we go. I hope... You know, like I said, for the emails that I get from those kids and adults, adults can process things a little more differently, but you know, I know better than anyone, it's still hard, but I always say, especially for kids, it's harder. There's a lot of, not in a delusional way, and it might not make you feel better this instant, but it might. There's a lot of, you know, you don't know the word. I want to say awesome, but that doesn't, you know, there's a lot of just great, wonderful, open-minded people, and you don't know who they are when you walk down the street. And yeah. I know that because I'm learning it by who comes up to me after the show. And it taught me not to judge, mm-hmm. which is ironic. But, like, people that you wouldn't think come up and just... There's so
like
many fucking people
comes
out
up,
there.
Flyers jersey. Yo, Todd. It's an awesome show. Listen, just want you to know. It was brave of you to admit that, you know, you are what you are. Because I listened to Mark Maron podcast. You know, it's like I listen to it.
I'll be that guy. I'll be me. Thank you. Thank you very much. I got to tell you, I get a little. I don't know what to say in these situations, but it resonates. What you're saying means a lot to me.
I hope so. I hope so. Can I get a picture with you?
Of course.
Oh, whoa! Don't put your arm around me.
Wait a second. So go rock on, Wawa, Preston and Steve. I'll see you in a few weeks. And Katie, thank you very much. We have to meet tomorrow and do a podcast. She came in and
the fun one.
You're yeah. good.
Must be nice.
I'm proud of you. I say that. I started saying that ironically because of Uncle Frank from the Jimmy Kimmel Show, but
I started telling people I'm proud of them.
Yeah, I am proud.
You don't
of
hear it enough.
You know, I am proud of a lot of kids today, and it's all good. And we're going to end with this song that somebody – it's called – I don't know the name of it. I'm forgetting. But we're going to that's what we'll play as we go. I think this is a great song. And there you go, everybody. Bye. Thank you, Paul.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.